Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis examines how the Real ID is moving us closer to a one-world system, and Dr. Larry Spargimino concludes his study of the signs that are tracking toward tribulation. A special hello goes out to all of our new listeners to Watchmen on the Wall. Hey, make sure you get your free new listener pack. Inside, you'll receive the latest issue of our monthly newsletter, The Prophetic Observer, and a free gift. Get your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144 or visit our website, swrc.com. And to everyone tuned in today, please remember that when you share a gift with SWRC, you're helping us spread the good news of the gospel. Every day, more and more people are learning that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Thank you for your gifts and your prayers. Now, here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
Our guest is Terry James. He is the general editor of Tracking Toward Tribulation. He has also contributed great material to the book. For this segment, we're going to be talking about Chapter 9, Preparing Antichrist Geopolitical Platform. Terry, you wrote about the UK's Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who has called on world leaders to form a, quote, temporary global government to resolve the medical and economic crises caused by the COVID pandemic. Now, how does this prepare the Antichrist geopolitical platform?
Well, I think it's all stage setting. You know, I think Satan is directing the minds of men. I think this thing that came out of the so-called Wuhan laboratory and so forth was, and in my opinion, it was directed by Satan himself to set the stage for the Antichrist eventual reign, Larry. And, you know, that's exactly what it did. I mean, it changed even American, you know, the free-living Americans. It changed our whole way of interacting with each other. And Satan accomplished one thing. I think it shut down many church services across the country.
Yes.
I mean, completely shut them down. And that was part of his purpose. So it's stage setting. Of course, he uses his human minions of Ephesians 6:12, a cabal, I think. You know, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and high places and so forth. So, you know, I believe that cabal consists of both demonic minions and human minions. I believe that Mr. Brown and some of these other globalists who want to help set the stage for that future one world order,
right,
they don't realize they're setting the stage for the Antichrist regime.
Yep. Terry, how does the attempt to form Israel's unity government fit into this picture? Does it have a demonic mark on it as well?
I have no doubt it does. I mean, Israel, let me say that Israel, you know, I'm 100% behind Israel, as all should be all Christians. You know, we're born to bless Israel, and
amen.
God says He'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse His beloved. They're human. They're made up of fallen human beings, and so they too can fall into this trap of Satan setting up plans. But one thing about it is that God's got His hand on them, as we've seen time and time again. He has all those against Israel. And I believe against America for right now, and against this president. I think he's got those people in derision, says Psalm chapter 2. He's got those enemies as a restrainer. He's restraining a lot of this evil.
Yes.
But yeah, in answer, you know, Israel is not perfect by any means from a human standpoint. No, God's chosen people, God's chosen nation, but they like a lot to be desired when it comes to obedience to God.
Amen. People want unlimited options to control their destiny, but they're not controlling their destiny. They are surrendering it to Satan. And I think, you make that point. I think that's so true. People today, the globalists, the leftists, the progressives, the people who, you know, authorize mutilating boys and girls and so forth, they think they're in control. But the fact is, and it's a warning, I think it's a warning, they have surrendered themselves to the devil. And they're doing his will and his purpose. Tell us a little bit about that, how Satan is the great murderer.
I think that this whole thing is this whole wokeness movement that we talk about, and we see the absolute insanity of it. Well, you know, God has told us about that in Romans chapter 1, as you know, Larry. Romans 1:28 says, because you have basically turned your back on me, want to totally disassociate my governance over this world. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. Upside-down thinking. Well, we can't find anything more upside-down than telling a parent to step aside while the state decides whether to that child should be a boy or a girl or something else, some other transgender term. And so God is turning this world over to a reprobate mind, particularly a big part of this country over to a reprobate mind, I think.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's so obvious to me and to right-minded people that what's happening is really a destruction, an attempt to destroy America, to destroy freedom, to destroy the churches. And of course, we see so much apostasy in the churches today. I think just looking at our world situation confirms Bible prophecy. But you know, Terry, the liberals don't like us. Anyone like you and me and millions of other Christians who are denying the need to go green because of the so-called drastic climate change is really a bad person. I think that's one of the reasons why they do not like Donald Trump. You know, I hear all these terrible things about Donald Trump. He's only a human being, but I think he has some leadership skills. I think he's a tough guy. I think this is a very dangerous world, and we need to pray for him and pray for our country and for our liberties.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with that. I've always say in my writings, and this is my core belief, Donald Trump has proven himself not to be a godly man. I mean, in a lot of ways, we know, like a lot of us have proven that over our lifetimes, that we're not always godly, and he's certainly not a godly man, but he is God's man. He's God's man for this hour, and all we have to look is August 14th or whatever it was. I think it's August 14th in Indiana, wasn't it? No, it was in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I believe God protected him right then and there, and so God's got his hand on this man, Donald Trump. He's got his hand on this nation because, again, we've seen a lot of restraint.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of derision cast upon people who try to bring this nation down. So God's still in control.
Well, I think basically we are battling the Antichrist spirit at the highest levels in our government. And that's one of the things I love about Bible prophecy. You know, when I was a non-millennialist and a replacement guy, I didn't really understand what's going on. But now that I'm into premillennialism, pre-tribulationism, and all of those things, I can understand what's happening. That's why I think prophecy is so important.
I'm telling you, we can. If you come from the premillennial view, you know what's happening, and you're truly into the study of God's word in that regard. And that's what I recommend everybody to do, every Christian, that is, to get into the study of Bible prophecy. This is the time to study Bible prophecy as never before.
Amen.
And all the other parts of the Bible, particularly salvation issues, are absolutely essential, of course. But man, if there's ever was a time for us to get into the study of Bible prophecy, and what you will do, like you say, Larry, is you'll get an understanding of exactly what this is all about,
right,
and where we stand on God's prophetic timeline, very, very near the time of rapture, I believe.
You mentioned the Great Reset, and then you also mentioned the Great Resist. You write about a senator who said, instead of talking about the un-American Great Reset, we need to talk about the Great Resist. I like that. What is the Great Resist?
Well, the Great Resist is resisting all things satanic that we see happening here. Now he was talking about the government should resist. And, you know, the left has turned that around to say that they're resisting Donald Trump now. But the true resistance, the senator was talking about a governmental resistance, but we're talking here about a godly resistance, a standing up for God's principles and morals and everything else in this time. I believe that's what God has surrounded this president with so many Christians,
yes.
Christian people. I mean, strong Christian believers. And I think God will assist us in that resistance. And I know he will until he calls us home.
Brother Terry, you're just one of my favorites. And, of course, I'm sure many of our listeners know that you are blind. And yet, despite all of that, you've accomplished so much. God has given you so much insight into the prophetic word. Terry, you know, you're a friend. We've been together so many times. I just want to encourage you to keep on going, keep on doing what you're doing. And, friends, you will want a copy of Tracking Toward Tribulation, 1-800-652-1144, to get your own copy. This is a book that you will love, you will read, you will underline, you will check the scriptures, you will do everything and you will say, hey, this is true. I need to have that. Once again, Tracking Toward Tribulation, 1-800-652-1144. Thank you, Terry James, for being our guest once again.
Well, thank you, Larry. God bless.
Dr. Nathan Jones is one of the contributors to the book, Tracking Toward Tribulation. Nathan, it is impossible to miss the fact that we see the exponential curve in so many ways. For thousands of years of human history, life has remained pretty much the same, but in just the last several decades, new innovations, weapons, the dissemination of knowledge have all suddenly popped up. What is the significance of all of this? And you really get into that in your chapter, and I think that's one of the gems. But tell our listeners about that.
Well, thank you, Larry. I was excited to write about, in Tracking Towards the Tribulation, about signs of the end times, particularly when Jesus was asked what would be the signs of the end times in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. He gave 10 signs, particularly false prophets, earthquakes, famines, plagues, fearful events, signs in the skies, persecution of Christians, the world coming against Israel, especially Jerusalem, and then his second coming. And so that's what my chapter was. It covered quite a number of the different signs, covered Daniel and his interpretation of the signs of the end times, also extreme weather and prophecy, the role of Islam in the end times, and technology in the end times, because the Bible prophesies quite a number of technologies as well. And then I wrapped it all up by explaining the 10 reasons why Bible prophecy exists, why the Lord gave it to us, so we would understand his great plan for the ages.
Well, I must say you do a great job of that in your chapter, but talk to us about extreme weather in prophecy. God does use extreme weather in many ways, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, according to Genesis 1, in the beginning, everything that God had made was perfect, but when sin entered the world, it had corrupted it all. And so in Genesis 3, we read how God has placed a curse upon the world. So a lot of times our natural disasters that we have, of course, are dealing with a fallen world, but sometimes God uses those to punish a nation if they are sinful, but also to point to the fact that as these natural disasters increase in frequency and intensity, they're pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. So those are the three ways that God uses extreme weather. But as he prophesied, as like birth pains, they come, the contractions come closer and closer, and the pain gets more intense leading up to the birth of the baby. Likewise, these signs of the end times would increase in frequency and intensity leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, and weather is one of them.
Well, Nathan, how do we know the difference between a natural disaster caused by living in our fallen world, and there are many of those, and a remedial judgment from God where God is actually speaking to us in a very special way?
Usually it's because of the actions of a particular nations or people. For instance, back in 2005, when George W. Bush had forced the Israelis into a two-state solution and had the Jewish people pull out of Gaza, out of nowhere, Hurricane Katrina formed in the Gulf, and it hit the United States real hard. And so the correlation between those two events were pretty obvious. Another time is when our stock market had this tremendous fall back in 2008, and it fell 777 points. It was like God's signature was on the stock market again. However a nation affects Israel, God in turn, if you go back to Genesis, where the Lord says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And every time America has pushed Israel into a bad position, we've gotten some horrific natural disaster happening to us.
Right.
And so the Lord is using that for us to wake up. Unfortunately, most, especially secularists, don't see that sign as being a sign that will attribute it to global warming or climate change or something like that. But we know from the Bible that God is trying to get us to repent and return to him.
Well, you write about a report titled Natural Disasters Up More Than 400% in Two Decades, and there's also an increase in earthquakes. I know those who don't really believe in Bible prophecy like to deny the reality of all of this, but I think it's indisputable. I mean, the signs, the warnings are everywhere. I remember the Bible Answer Man several years ago, Hank Hanegraaff, might as well use his name, was just making so much fun about those of us who believe that these signs are very important, that God is speaking, God loves us, God warns us. So what do you say to those who hold to preterism, they hold to replacement theology? They kind of mock us left and right, but I think we've got a really good case. So what's your response to them, and how would you correct their theology? It really needs to be corrected.
Well, the first thing, replacement theology, that Israel has replaced the church. What nation has come back from the dead after 1900 years? The Mayans haven't come back. The Hittites haven't come back. The Iroquois nation will never come back. But the nation of the Bible, Israel, is back. And many of the signs of the end times and the prophecies related to Christ's return require that Israel be a nation again. Because the Lord's purpose, as he says in Isaiah 11, is to regather the Jewish people back into the land of Israel, go through a tribulation time period, and a remnant, a third of them, will come to know Jesus as their Savior. And Jesus says, when they cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that's when he will return to this earth, when the Jewish people finally repent. And so that's what this is all about. So replacement theology is the Lord is ruling through the church in a respect, but there is another fold to his kingdom called the Davidic kingdom, where he will come and physically rule and reign on this earth.
Amen.
Now, that hasn't happened, so that's an argument against preterism that all the prophecies were fulfilled in 70 AD. Obviously not, because we're living through watching Israel become a nation again. All the signs of Luke 21 are being fulfilled in our day. We know then that the Lord's kingdom is coming because he must sit on the Davidic throne. So those, I believe, cancel out any kind of argument for the preterist view and replacement theology.
Well, you know, back in 1981, I was a PhD student at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. I held to replacement theology, but I won a tour, my first tour to Israel. That was in 1981.
Wow.
I was a non-millennialist at that time. I held to replacement theology. But one of the things that really amazed me, even back in 1981, was how do I explain the existence of this tiny nation? I mean, it's got enemies everywhere. They want to blow it to smithereens. This has been going on for centuries, and that opened my eyes. You brought that up, but it just really impressed me. Even as a doctoral student, my professors were Amil and replacement theology. But I said to myself, how can this be? How come the nation is still there? It's a miracle. In fact, I think the existence of Israel today is one of the greatest proofs that prophecy is true and that the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 15, still stands.
Absolutely, Larry. Same thing. My experience was that when I was a doctoral student at Trinity, my professor who guided my final project, my dissertation, was an amillennialist, but he was open to what I was writing, thank goodness. My final dissertation ended up being on the millennial kingdom, how Jesus would sit on in the throne of David and rule and reign on this earth. And at first he told me, well, I don't believe that, but I'm open to hearing your arguments. Well, once I went through all the Bible verses that show that Jesus Christ will return to rule and reign this earth in his millennial kingdom, by the time I was done the paper, he says, you know what? I see your position and I believe it.
Amen.
And so I think when someone reads the Bible for its plain sense meaning, they will always come up with the premillennial, pre-tribulation interpretation of end-time Bible prophecy.
Well, you know, Nathan, we have certainly a new cultural identity. I think it makes evangelism much more difficult than ever before. But I think that's why it's so important that pastors preach on biblical, eschatological topics. Speak to pastors who are afraid to deal with prophecy. They think, well, it's too controversial. People might get angry. Tell pastors who may be listening why they need to get bold and preach the prophetic word.
Bear in mind that the Bible is going to make anybody angry, so it doesn't matter if you teach on marital counseling or homosexuality or social events, someone's going to get mad. So don't be worried about being accepted. And I know a lot of pastors struggle with wanting to be accepted so that people will listen to their message. But again, Jesus didn't go around looking to get accepted. He looked to tell the truth. So always preach the truth. Another thing is 31% of the Bible is God's prophetic word. He wants us to know how it ends. You know, some people are scared, well, you know, we can't know how it ends. Yes, God wants us to know how his plan ends. Jesus will come victorious, and his children through him will be victorious as well. And that's meant to give us hope. As a matter of fact, Titus 2:13 says the rapture of the church is our blessed hope. It's meant to give us hope. So I encourage pastors to share that message of hope with your congregation. Don't worry about being accepted or not. Let the Bible speak for itself and always interpret the Bible through its plain sense, literal meaning, and you will always come up with the correct interpretation.
Well, friends, our guest Nathan Jones is one of the contributors to the book, Tracking Toward Tribulation. Give us a call and we will send you a copy. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144.
Today in the Resource Spotlight, we're featuring the book, Tracking Toward Tribulation and the Any Moment Intervention by Jesus Christ. This powerful book brings together 15 of today's leading voices in Bible prophecy to unveil the stunning truth behind our chaotic world. As global headlines grow darker and more confounding, this powerful book offers clarity and hope, revealing how current events perfectly align with ancient biblical predictions. From rising global wickedness to the increasing hostility toward Israel, the authors dissect the signs that mirror the days of Noah and Lot, just as Jesus foretold. Yet amid the storm of coming judgment, this book shines with a glorious promise, the soon return of Jesus Christ, the blessed hope of all believers. The signs are everywhere. The time is near. Don't be caught unaware. Order Tracking Toward Tribulation today. 1-800-652-1144 is the number to call. 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Bible prophecy reveals a one-world government during the Great Tribulation. How does the Real ID move us closer to that possibility? Here's Josh Davis with the answer.
20 years in the making, and it's here. What's that? It's the United States Real ID. If you're a U.S. citizen, let me ask you, did you get yours? Now you got to use that Real ID or your passport if you want to board a domestic flight or access certain federal facilities. Now, accessing certain federal facilities isn't something that most Americans do on a regular basis, but thousands, even millions of Americans fly domestically every single month. And so this is going to impact millions of U.S. citizens. The Department of Homeland Security has emphasized the greater security provided by this ID system. There are some freedom and some privacy concerns. And any time that the government starts talking about greater safety, greater security, we need to pause and ask ourselves, is there any freedom that we have to give up in the name of this safety, in the name of this security? Are there any privacy concerns resulting from these kinds of things? We got to ask ourselves these questions. Another question that we need to consider is this a de facto national ID? In other words, has the federal government usurped the state's authority and created a national ID system? The TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, states that the Real ID is a national set of minimum standards rather than a national ID card. And they say that it does not create a federal driver's license information database. The TSA went on to say, each state jurisdiction continues to issue its own unique license, maintains its own records and controls who gets access to those records and under what circumstances. The TSA statement goes on to say the purpose of the Real ID is to make state-issued identity documents accepted by federal agencies for official purposes more consistent and secure. They say that's all that we're doing with the Real ID is setting a minimum safety standard for those kinds of things. While that may not be bad in and of itself, again, we ask these kinds of questions. What doors could be opened on the other side? Are there privacy concerns? Are there freedom concerns? And of course, as students of Bible prophecy, we are asking ourselves, how are we seeing the stage being set for the biblical end time scenario? Does this push us further and move us closer to those kinds of things? Now, we find some unusual allies, people who we would not usually align ourselves with, who are speaking out against some of the complications that could result from the Real ID. And that's the folks at the ACLU. How often have we sided with the ACLU? But this is what they said, some of the concerns they had over this, and said that it could facilitate data tracking on individuals if it's fully implemented. And the ACLU has a statement on their website that says, by definitively turning driver's licenses into a form of national identity documents, Real ID would have a tremendously destructive impact on privacy. And again, that comes from the ACLU of all groups. Now, the DHS has gone on to discuss a what they call global security envelope that could share biometric data internationally. In other words, the biometric data that they would have on file as a part of this Real ID system and future developments of it could be used globally, could be shared internationally with other governments. I see this as opening the door for border protection, that they're saying, oh, so-and-so tried to cross our border. We're going to share that information with another country. Policing, privacy concerns, all these kinds of things, border security. You can see the steps that we are taking as we move closer and closer and closer to the biblical end times scenario. Please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying Real ID, and if you have Real ID, you've got the mark of the beast. I'm not saying that. I'm just showing you how the stage is being set, and we're going step by step by step by step. And these things are mandated. There is not an option. If you want to fly, if you want to enter some of these facilities, then you have to have this identification. And so as the world is moving toward a fully digital database, we're inching towards the capacity for a centralized global government and global citizenship, just as the Bible prophesies will be here during the Great Tribulation. Revelation 13 talks at length about that. But friends, I don't want this information to leave you in fear. Instead, I want it to encourage your faith. Because if we're seeing the stage being set like this, how close is the rapture of the church to these events? As it says in Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Friends, make sure you order today's featured resource, the book Tracking Toward Tribulation. This powerful book brings together 15 of today's leading voices in Bible prophecy to unveil the stunning truth behind our chaotic world. Prepare your heart, sharpen your spiritual discernment, and understand the times with insight only God's Word can provide. Tracking Toward Tribulation isn't just a wake-up call. It's a call to anchor your soul in the only truth that matters. The signs are everywhere. The time is near. Don't be caught unaware. Order Tracking Toward Tribulation today. 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Tracking Toward Tribulation on our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Donald Perkins will continue his verse-by-verse study through the book of Revelation. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. For more information, visit our website, swrc.com.